There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay, wait a minute now. Say that again. What? You lost me because I was like choking on some honey roasted peanuts. What do you want to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about, the difference between flesh and spirit, but we're going to go back and kind of give a little history on it, how it kind of got
the total,
so far off.
The distortion, the distraction.
Yeah, let me get a couple more of my bugles in and then I'll be ready.
Why didn't you get a big bag of bugles?
I thought about it. I really did.
Do they have big bags of bugles?
I think so.
I like these things.
Are we on the air? Hey, the red light's on.
What have I always told you? What do I say? When the red light is on, what?
You're on.
Well, we'll just... I don't know. Want to just play the opening again so we can snack a little bit?
Let's just do that. I'm still hungry.
Yeah. We'll just play the opening again.
Okay.
Hey, this is...
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world
you want some
seems
peanuts?
To be so
I like,
large
I like honey roasted.
So small.
I do, too.
That's good.
Life can...
I bought a little bag.
Hey, we're sharing tonight. That's a first.
Especially if there are
it's grace. I bought a little bag of like some kind of barbecued peanuts. Oh, I thought I was going to die.
Or are you
I couldn't drink water enough. They were really spicy.
You don't like spicy stuff, do you?
I'm not a big fan of spicy. What was that other bag you bought? What was that?
God's love. The grace of God.
This bag?
Yeah, what's that?
Grandma's sandwich cookies. They're good. Have them. Little ones.
Free of pain.
These are cookies the size of a quarter.
The Holy Spirit is
or a
just
penny.
Waiting for you to
maybe
ask
Penny's
for
listening.
God's love
yeah.
And grace over I your
those.
Life.
All right.
This internet radio show is here.
I think we'll be ready
just
this time.
This purpose to
really?
Enlighten, empower.
You think?
Every one of you.
We better be ready.
Seek such peace and harmony in your life, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Huckaday.
The only one of us that's really doing what they're supposed to be doing is Ranger.
And God's
she's
grace.
Just obediently
welcome
laying there.
The Abiding Presence.
Okay, let's make this for real now, okay?
All right.
Radio show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Radio Show. Today's date is the 10th of September, 2013, and it is just about 3 minutes and 52 seconds after the hour. That was just a brief sample of what happens here in the barn when the red lights aren't on and the microphones aren't on. And we just decided to give you just a little sample of literally what we're talking about and what's going on while the opening music is playing. So welcome, and all the new people, welcome. Okay, tonight, if you go back into the history of Jim's radio show on the archives, and if you've ever had an opportunity to go to the Hardesty Library in Tulsa, Oklahoma on a Wednesday night, or maybe in Wisconsin or back east or the South or North Carolina or Virginia, all the places that Jim travels to, not to mention Western Europe. We always talk about a distortion, a distraction, a literally change of direction. In other words, to put it in a term we all can understand is when it got broke. when the wheels came off the wagon. We talk a lot about the book of Genesis, how the apple and the serpent and Adam and Eve, how that was the start of things going wrong. And we always talk about how it's a snowball rolling downhill, how it cascaded. But perhaps some of you are still, I don't know if you're struggling or maybe just it's not as clear as you'd like it to be, or it's not as clear as it should be, I guess is a better way to put it. You're still having unanswered prayers, and grace just seems to be something that sounds so wonderful and glorious, and you're positive that you have it, but yet, where is it? Where's my grace, and why isn't my grace doing things for me? Now, at the outset, that sounds childish. Well, why wouldn't it? We're a child of God. It sounds selfish. Well, it's yours. It's an individual journey, so nothing wrong with that. And demanding and actually giving it accountability, that just means that you really believe in Christianity and God and grace, and you're wondering where it is because it's a gift. It's no different than having a birthday party or Christmas party or an anniversary party or some kind of a baby shower, and somebody says, I gave you a gift, and at the end of the day, you want to know where your gift is. What is it? Where is it? I want it. You told me you gave me a gift. Where is it? Very, very legitimate questions. Unfortunately, through the evolution of man, grace, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they've tried to give us some course corrections, recognizing that humanity, that man himself is going down the wrong path. And like reining in a child, like admonishing a child, giving a child an example of what is acceptable behavior and what is unacceptable behavior, what is good and what is bad, a lot of times isn't really noticed. And so on tonight's show, we're going to talk about the course corrections through the dawn of Christianity, literally from Genesis to Revelations. We may not even be able to cover it in one show. I do know one thing.
Yes.
This is probably one of my favorite openings because it was real, and you know, yeah. I thought it was neat to restart the music so I could have some more bugles.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself too.
Don't ever bring such a small bag of
bugles.
No, that's just, yeah, you weren't thinking.
Yeah,
there.
Bugles are really good. We'll have to get
but
a little different.
But let's talk about these course corrections because,
yeah,
I mean, they're very dramatic. And what's interesting, as I pointed out to you, as soon as you got back from town with the snacks is that every time Christ makes a course correction for mankind, it's more dramatic. It's more violent. It has a greater statement of what is acceptable and unacceptable. And unfortunately, even though it's wrote about, sung about, it still seems that the mathematical odds show that the overwhelming majority of the people, they don't get it.
No, they don't. And plus, it also seems like the more course correction there is, the greater responsibility there is on man, too. So it's as though in olden times, it's not like people got away with anything, but there wasn't... how would you say that, BJ? It's not like people got away with something in the old years ago. It just was different because there wasn't so much.
There's not
TV.
Okay.
There wasn't all the.
Look what I said to you before we started the show. I said, let's just go back a frog's hair in our history.
Right.
On the face of this planet. I said, let's go from 2013 to the year 1865.
Right.
That's 148 years.
48 years, yeah.
The Civil War is coming to an end. The country's trying to heal and rebuild itself in the United States. And people are moving west like they never have before.
gold in California, silver in Arizona and New Mexico. And you could literally be the most egregious, terrible human being on the face of the planet. You could beg, borrow, steal, or sell all your possessions to get a horse or a wagon, a grub stake, equipment, and supplies, and you could literally travel from the eastern part of the U.S., and you could move out west, and you could change your name. There was no Social Security cards, no passports, no driver's license, no job history, no real record. If you could, be Bob the store owner who killed and robbed everybody in the town to get his money to move out west. And when you got out west, you could be Tom, the greatest guy in the world.
Right.
And unless somebody actually saw you face to face and said, wait a minute, this is Bob the storekeeper who killed everybody in my town and took their money, you would spend your whole life as Tom, the perfect angel. And then if you get married and you have children and their children have children and so on and so forth, you find yourself 148 years later in Oklahoma in 2013, and somebody says, tell me about your family. And they say, well, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, he went through the Civil War, and he made it on his own out west, and he met our great-great-grandmother, and his name was Tom, and everybody loved him, and he was a wonderful guy. And you've literally flushed away Bob, the murdering, robbing storekeeper. And that's just one person.
Sure.
In 148 years. Now take a deep breath, everybody, and clear your mind and think about 2,000 years and all the different religions, all the different organizations, and all the distractions and kings and queens and emperors and monarchs and governments and military who've gone to war over their religious beliefs. Do you really have any shock and awe why there are so many unanswered prayers? Why, by a simple ask of, I don't want to die, is like some miracle manifestation that is talked about? The internet, newspapers, radios, televisions, there's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh. They've done nothing but accentuate and turbocharge and throw Christianity off a tall building with the speed of electricity, because bad news always travels faster than good.
Okay, so if you put all this together as we're beginning to develop this, this is what I get out of it. Maybe a lot more than just what I'm going to say here, but take this point, and that is, it's very difficult for people today in our modern society to think of life any other way than what they know. And this is what they know, their life up to this point, especially if you've got 20, 30, 40 years, 50, 60, 70 years on you, and you've got multiple years of doing things in the same way, watching the progressions move throughout the years. In fact, to be real honest with you, as much as time really has moved on in these last few years a whole lot faster than we're used to, if you go back 20, 30, and 40, and 50 years ago, there was change constantly, but it wasn't as abrupt as it's becoming now. So really, you think, people have accepted their way of life for a very long time. It's very difficult to pull away from what we think is normal. Maybe if we'd give a little history here, go back a little bit, and begin to discuss some things of how distorted things have been throughout centuries, maybe it'll help people to ask the right questions, which is, I've accepted a certain brand of Christianity. To what degree is this Christianity correct and accurate? How does it stack up to the life of Jesus?
That's really good.
And if I'm not receiving the results that I really need in my life, if I can be honest enough to say, I'm not 100%, I'm not even 20%, I'm not even 5% of my prayers being answered, then to what level am I willing to give up what I think about reality and ask God to help direct me to what is really real?
I think it's more harsh and coarse. You know, I've always said, you know, you're a much better, you know, person than I'll ever be. Well, than I want to be. Well, I mean, you know, I got. Sure. I'm taking accountability sure. here. Sure. You know, I mean, I'm trying to be. You know, I'm trying very hard to avoid hypocrisy. So I thought I better throw that in. You're a better person than I want to be. But I think it's. I mean, come on. I mean, I find it so perplexing that there are people that know that book from cover to cover, and I'm clueless about it. And they find themselves praying day after day and calling on people to pray with them, and nothing happens.
Right.
And I'm saying, it's right there in your own book that you cherish. Ask, and you shall receive.
Right.
Why are you worried about your job? Why are you worried about food and medical care and prescriptions? When it says, if I'm going to take care of animals and birds, why wouldn't I take care of my own children?
But this is how, when things go off over the centuries, this is the outcome.
The reason it's off and this is the outcome, as you're absolutely right, is because things are so far out in left field that people don't even know it's left field. They think it's the only field it is.
Right.
How many times have I told you that most people don't know that they need to repent because they don't know that there's anything different they could have?
Yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah, and even religiously, they don't know anything's wrong. Everybody prays prayers that never get answered.
No, because that's the, 95 to 98, maybe even 99% of the people that call themselves Christians, it isn't working.
Right.
They have nothing to test. Their only testimony is working at it.
Right. Well, we'll turn this flip-flop, this whole thing, in your mind's eye and see it through this particular perspective. What if, in the day we're living, every building that we've termed more of a religious structure, they call themselves churches, but they're not helping people to advance in God. That's why we say that's religion, because that is modern religion. Churches are helping people find God and experience God and begin to get their own prayers answered and move forward with God personally themselves. But let's just say, in your mind's eye, conceive of this, that every one of these places that call themselves churches are real churches, and people are experiencing God. The majority of the people at the church, if they've been there for 6 months to a year, my goodness, they have stacks of testimonies of their own prayers being answered and of other people receiving wonderful experiences of God's grace. To be in that particular type of congregation, you're surrounded by individuals that have personal walks with God, that constantly talk about grace, constantly talk about how good He is. And in fact, you're growing up in a home where you can't remember in your first 15 years a prayer ever not being answered. And then all of a sudden, one day, a prayer goes unanswered. What would that do to your world? Wouldn't that cause you to want to like slam on the brakes, like there was a catastrophe, and say, what just happened? A prayer didn't get instantly answered. Well, if you can see it from that perspective, now you understand how mixed up things are in our day, where hardly anybody's prayers are ever answered, and no one's even putting on the brakes. That's how convoluted things are today, that in our religious services and places of religion that we go to, you can't even talk like we're talking right now because it would offend the people that are in the pulpits. That we're actually saying something that, quote unquote, is against the church. And it's not against the church, it's against religion that's continuing to keep people from asking the kind of questions that grace can answer to help you to realize what is reality. This is going to be a good show. BJ, do you have any emails for us?
Yeah, we got a bucket of emails here, and it's 20 after, and I still haven't done the housekeeping. Folks, if you want to email the show or you want to text the show, I literally can't emphasize the fact on how Jim and I
love audience participation. We love text messages and emails, don't we?
Yes. It helps make the show, actually.
I think it is the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because we can eat snacks and talk without a fancy room in the barn with, right. you know, thousands of dollars of broadcasting equipment. But we need the snacks. Well, we were in the barn before this. That's anyways, right. If you want to email the show, it's real simple. The name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no capital letters, no spaces. You just type The Abiding Presence at Gmail. G as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. That's how you email the show.
Yes.
If you want to text the show, the first word that you want to type in your text message is our names, Jim BJ. Once again, no capital letters, no space, just J-I-M BJ. And then finish your text, and then you send it to this five-digit high-speed text number. There's no one, no area code. It's just 69302, 69302. And you can find this information out on the radio show website, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. It explains about emails, and it also talks about how to send a text to the show. If you don't want your name mentioned, please start your email or text without no name. Make it easy.
As long as you're doing a little housekeeping there, let me make mention, because I didn't tell you this, but tomorrow Aaron and I are driving Allie to college in Georgia.
Your first kid's going to college in Georgia.
Yep, Savannah, Georgia.
Can't wait to get away from home, going all the way from Oklahoma to Georgia.
That's right. So we will not be having the Hardesty Library tomorrow night.
Oh,
but
we'll be
back then again the following week. And so, but that's going really well.
How long does it take to get to Georgia from Oklahoma?
Well, it's a 15-hour drive, 16 hours going east because of time change.
Yeah.
So we're going to do about 10 hours the first day, and then we'll do 5 the next.
I was hauling cattle from Iowa to Georgia, and it was so hot in Georgia that my snow tires overheated on the road because the more
tread you have, the
harder
they get.
Yeah, the more aggressive the tread is on the tire, the more heat it heats
up
the
tire. Did you blow tires?
I blew two rear duals, and I went to a Goodyear tire store because they were Goodyears.
Right.
And they didn't have snow tires.
Oh, yeah, it's Georgia.
It was Georgia.
Yeah.
And he says, we all don't have these tires. I says, they're Goodyear tires. And he says, well, I know that, son, but it don't snow in Georgia. I said, well, what are you going to do? And he says, I can get them here from Atlanta. He says, but it's going to take 2 days. And I said, well, how far is Atlanta? And he goes, well, it's over 100 miles away. And I says, I got to come through this town again. I says, can you put two something dumb tires on my truck? And I'll go to Atlanta and get what I need, and then I'll come back and bring these tires back. And he says, y'all in that much of a hurry? And I said, yeah, I really need to be scooting down the road. You know, and I just kept thinking, I really want to go. And so I went to Atlanta, and they actually gave me different kind of tires on it, you know. And they says, well, you're going to burn these up too. And so, yeah, true story. That's all I know about Georgia.
How far back was that?
That was the summer of 19... what would that have been? That would have been the summer of 1994.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
And so, wasn't saved back then.
No.
No. I think people need to just... for a second, stop and think about what you and I are saying here. And it's got to be tough. You know, I think one of the best analogies that I can come up with tonight's show is, it's like when you watch that television show or you see that movie, and it's somebody that finds out they're adopted.
Right.
And they go, why didn't you ever tell me I was adopted?
Right.
Well, we thought about it when you were in school, and then you were going off to college, and then you were going off to the military. Well, we knew this would be upsetting, and, well, we just couldn't find the right time.
Right.
But I could have, you know the drama that they write. It's literally like that. It's like finding out that what you believe, the world that you anchor yourself to.
Yeah.
The truths that you believe, think about this, your family, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts and uncles, your home, the photos, the holidays, everything that is the cornerstone of your peace of mind and serenity, the thing that is most important to you, the rug gets pulled out
right.
when you find out you were adopted.
Right.
Or they went on a camping trip and they were supposed to put $5 at the ranger station and there you were in a picnic basket. And nobody wanted you, and they just kept you and treated you like one of the family. It's literally that earth-shattering. Because if you're not ready for that kind of a change, if your imagination, because we talked about imagination.
Yeah, last couple weeks.
Last couple weeks. If you can't conceive making or that there is another path for you as a Christian, then I don't know how else to put it. You're screwed.
Yeah. Well, let me say
you're
this.
You're going to spin your wheels. You won't have traction. And you'll just find yourself wondering why this just didn't work the way
right.
they told me it was supposed
well,
to work.
Let me say this in a kind of a religious way. And that is.
That wasn't in a religious way?
No, it wasn't. But let me say this in a religious way. And here's what I find as I'm preaching this message. And I find it in myself as well. Because the more you are religious, the more you're breaking away from a religious background, the more these kind of things come up. But I find that it's definitely very, very hard for people, BJ, to separate, to make a very definitive line between flesh and spirit. Today, flesh and spirit, their concept of spirit and their understanding of flesh is very mingled together. It's kind of like, remember those scriptures in Revelation where it says, choose hot or cold, but not lukewarm?
Right.
You know, and it's the lukewarmness of our age which keeps us from being able to make a very definitive line.
Yeah.
And it's this type of stark reality of how convoluted things have been that can help people say, in other words, ask the right questions.
Yeah, it's like our reality is a sporting event. And Satan and Christ are sitting next to each other in the bleachers. And they're eating corn dogs and popcorn, and they're drinking soda pop. Well, you know, Satan's probably having a beer. And anyways, they're just watching humanity.
Right.
Here's these two entities. You've got good in Christ, and you have bad, evil in Satan, negative energy. Positive energy and negative energy. And they're the only two spectators of man. And they've got the best seats in the house.
Right.
And they're watching man play out. They're literally talking to each other like this. See that guy over there? Yeah. Watch this. Well, that wasn't bad. That's what Satan says, and God says, yeah, but really wasn't that good. And then they look at each other and they say, well, 50-50, you pick him. He's really not doing anything that bad, but he's really not doing anything that good. I wish he would make his mind up. He has no commitment. He has no conviction. And then they look at somebody else and they say, wow, look at her. She is terrible.
Right.
Look at that. And Satan is saying, you go, girl. You go.
Yeah.
She's committed. She's bad. There's one for me. And then Christ looks over there and says, hey, look at that guy way over there. Look at what he's doing.
Right.
You know, and Satan says, well, you got that one. And then they say, but yeah, you've got a woman over here, and I've got a man over here. And there's millions in between that aren't doing anything for either one of us.
Yeah, and for those of you that are listening to that, which I love the example, it's not about being a works conscious. That's not what
BJ's talking about.
He's talking about making choices that allows God
to
work in your life. Yeah.
You know, I think I actually take it as a compliment. It used to perplex me, and then I wondered, I thought, well, maybe I ought to change. And then the closer I get to the guys, and you know, once I hit 100 prayers, I didn't, you know. Oh, did I tell you I made it to 600?
No.
600 prayers in 2 years, instantly answered. Now, I don't, well, you know me, I don't think about anything. But it used to bother me at one point in my transition to try to, you know, be saved and, you know, try to do better, right. Be better, pass along, have some decent testimonies. When somebody would say, well, you don't talk like a Christian, you don't look like a Christian, you don't dress like a Christian. And I'd say, well, what do you want me to wear? And they'd say, well, you know, they'd stumble because I would,
right.
You know, I'd, well, you know me, you know, I'd call them on it. And I'd say, do you think that's what it is? Do you think it's the way you look and what you do and how you speak? I says, where's the individual relationship with a parent in that?
Right.
I says, wouldn't you freak out if your neighbor had 20 kids and they all had the same name and they all made them dress the same, whether they were boys or girls? Wouldn't you think that's just a little odd? And he goes, yeah. And I says, well, then where's the individuality of Christians,
right,
as the children of Christ? And then, you know, they'd say, well, you just, you know, because then, you know.
Sure.
They're lost.
Right.
No traction. They're spinning their wheels. So the only choice they have is to walk away or quote some ridiculous half-baked section of scripture somewhere that, you know, doesn't apply. But Jim, don't you find that in your own journey that the more absolute and the more strict your path is with grace, that you really don't notice this stuff? Because one of the wonderful things about having a relationship with the guys is that they really remove things from your consciousness.
Yeah, it's
it isn't like you have to like bite your tongue and grit your teeth because you see an armored truck take a turn and the door comes open and a bag of money drops on the ground. Because you're going, oh, I just wanted, I needed, oh. They're our parents. We're children of God. One of their jobs is to protect us,
right,
from ourselves.
Yeah, the more accurate I am and the more definitive I become in drawing a line between what is and what is not, then the further I go. And actually, I wanted to read here, Steve is probably listening in High Point, Florida. I remember a text he sent me, and I've got it right here. I'm going to read it. He said, yeah, like I said, everything is starting to really make sense. I put that in a question. He said, yeah, like crazy. I'm getting all kinds of results the more absolute I become, and the more I make a definitive line between spirit and world, I feel like I'm going 100 miles an hour. And that's what really begins to happen. And the interesting thing is, the more you start to go forward, and this is not judgmental at all, what I'm getting ready to say, because I really don't care. In one sense, it's none of my business what someone does or someone doesn't do. But the more, the faster you go and the more definitive the line is, the more you see how you used to be in other people that have not made that choice.
Yeah.
And then you realize, and here's the thing that's interesting. Then you realize by looking at them and seeing that they actually think life is amazing and wonderful and they've learned how to deal with the ups and downs and they don't see that there's even a problem, then you realize that's how I used to be, where I didn't even think there was a problem, and now I see how, in a sense, how immersed they are in flesh.
Yeah.
And you can really see the change that's taken place in your life.
We got a bunch of emails.
Okay.
The first one came in at 11:32 this morning.
All right.
And it says, greetings from Brent in Kentucky. And somebody heard you speak in Minnesota about a year ago. He says he's listened to all the shows more than once. How many shows are there now, like 102, 103?
Probably about 105, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you listened to all the shows? Because I've hardly listened to any of them.
I haven't listened to them.
No.
Oh.
That's a joke, by the way.
I know it is.
But it sounds, I like it.
In a little bit, once you're done with this, I want to give an answer to my sign. It took me a while to figure out what sign I liked. You knew right away, ice cream, free ice cream.
Free ice cream. That's the best sign I've ever seen in Nevada. I told the story. Yeah.
From last week. And I kept racking my brain to think of a road sign, but I there's a
what's
plaque.
Are you talking about the thing on the refrigerator?
I love it.
Tell everybody your favorite sign.
My favorite sign, which would be a plaque, says, "Good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help, so have a wonderful day. I love you." That's my favorite sign.
I like that.
I do too.
I do. I'm still going with free ice cream.
I mean, that's hard to beat right there.
I think until Revelations, I think nothing's going to trump a sign that says
free ice cream
in my life. Just me. I know myself real well.
What did Brent say?
Okay. Brent went on to say that at some point in listening to BJ, I figured out that he does not believe for things, he believes in God. What he's saying is that he understands that I don't care, I don't believe in anything, but I do believe in the guys, and you know.
Yeah, you don't have any value in things.
No, I don't. No, pretty much everything is valueless.
Right.
Except for free ice cream.
Right.
He says, my mentality has gone from a do to become or do, to have, to a mentality of I am. So believe or I am, so rest and enjoy. What he said here is that he's really starting to make a change. And the only thing that remains for me to be persuaded of all that I have and I am is his kid. So he's doing really well. We got another one here. It says, Jim and BJ, I wanted to thank you for reading and addressing my email last week. I've continued to listen to the archives. It really helped. I truly enjoy listening, and I'm continuing to learn. I've encouraged others to listen as well. Blessing on both of you. This is from Nathaniel in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And, that's not. Thanks for spreading the word about the show. It says, hey, boys, I won't be listening live tonight, but just wanted to say hello, and I hope you have an amazing show. I'd like to. Do we ever have amazing shows?
I think we do.
Do you? Well, it's
your show.
Okay.
Who's that from?
It says, I have listened to every show now, and I'm so thankful for what God has shared through you guys. I'm having testimony after testimony, healing in my body, new job with huge raise, and much more. The guys are so real to me. Now I can hardly go moments without thinking about grace. See, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, you'll love this.
And this is from Jamie.
Jamie?
Didn't say where Jamie...
She's not a new listener.
I know. We got one here. It says, Jim and BJ, great program. We have become regular listeners on Tuesday nights. There has been much discussion lately about God's grace. My question is God's grace and God's mercy. One and the same. Thanks, fellas, for what you do. Oh, this is from that couple in Eau Claire. Creamettes, part of Sherwood, Mr.
Right.
Creamy's group.
Well, I've got something
Dennis from... and Muriel Mattson.
Oh, yeah. I've got something from Sherwood here, too.
Is he listening?
He probably is listening tonight. But this didn't come in right now. It came in, you know, a little back. We were talking last week. You'll love this. So it says, I did an experiment with grace, and it worked with my son. And he's got a little smiley face. And I said, the more creative I think, the more fun Jesus has. And he said, yeah. And then this is what he said. Another funny thing. My son has been talking to Grace so much at school, someone asked him if Grace was his girlfriend.
Oh, man. That's...
I think he's 14.
You know what? We should have him call in.
Yeah.
Tell him. Ask him. Invite him. Just ask him. Say, text him. Do you have his text number?
Well, yeah.
Text him and say, if you're listening right now, call into the show. Say hi. Isn't that a great testimony? Okay, we got another email while Jim is doing that. We got one here. It says, My husband and I want to thank you both for continuing to encourage us to operate in our most holy faith in Christ by His grace. The past two shows have been so helpful as listeners continue to ask honest, practical questions about how to experience grace and intimacy with God. We appreciate your detailed responses as well. I was wondering if anyone would be willing to share, Jim, BJ, or listeners, about personal experiences of God's love for them. Holy Spirit told me a few years ago that love empowers truth. God's love empowers the truth of God in the life of believers. I'm reminded of Romans 2.4, which asks, how could you not know that His kindness is guiding our hearts to turn away from distractions and habitual sin to walk a new path? Thanks again. Oh, this is from Karen from the Fort Worth area.
Okay.
You know, is that right? Romans 2.4, it says that?
Yeah, let me see.
Let's see. Romans is a book, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, Romans is a book, and then what would it be? Chapter?
Second, yep.
Chapter 2?
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Sentence 4 or paragraph 4?
Verse.
Verse?
Yeah.
Okay, Romans 2.4.
All right. I'm going to read it in the message.
Okay, what's it say?
Let me see here. It says, or did you think that because He's such a nice God, He'll let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but He's not soft. In kindness, He takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change.
See, the real test, we talk about this all the time. The real testimony of a Christian is the ability to have grace in your life and just use the heck out of it. I mean, it's like a pair of shoes that never wears out. It's like a grace is a vehicle that never needs the oil changed or the tires rotated.
Like a gift that keeps on giving?
Yeah, never. No, that's like some social disease.
That's terrible.
Well, it's the first thing that came to mind. I'm in the world, sorry. But it's like a car that never runs out of gas. It's and see, this is what I don't understand about people that have worshiped for so long. They use it as a mantra. God is good. God is great. God has no limits. God has no boundaries. God's love is endless. But yet, their own relationship with Christ is literally surrounded by giant rock walls. It only goes so far, and it's only so productive. And I find that very sad.
Yeah.
I wish them... listening from Minnesota. This came in 33 minutes ago. When we are driving, my kids will say now, put on a little Jim Hockaday.
Huh.
Well, that's sad. I wouldn't want to go for a drive in Minnesota listening to you. It says, they love listening to the CDs in the car. These kids are the best at throwing invisible bottles of grace on everything. See, I like that.
Oh, that's cool.
I like that. I'm going to read that again. The kids are the best at throwing invisible bottles of grace on everything.
Oh, you didn't read the part about they wanted to put my CD in.
No, I just read that once.
You just skipped over that.
I did, yeah. I pretty much did. They are sitting listening for the first time. Could you read their names on the radio? They are currently... Oh, my gosh. Well, this came in 33 minutes ago, so they need another serving. It says they are currently eating ice cream. Okay. We'll have Ranger do it. Ranger, say hello to Marcus. Say hello to Marcus. Oh, don't stretch. Marcus, what do you say? You're just going to growl? Ranger, what do you say? Come on. Okay, Marcus is 8. Lucatone. Lucatone? How would you say that? Lucatone. Lucatone? I don't know. I'm messing it up.
You did a good...
7 years old and Rennie, R-E-N-I, 4. Thank you. This is from Anna. Would you just bark? What do you say? Ranger, what do you say? Go. What do you say? Come on, Ranger, bark. She's just growling.
Yeah.
She's tired. We baled hay for 3 days. I can't believe you won't bark for these kids. Ranger, Ranger, come here. Bark. Come on. Radio show. What do you say? Come on. What do you say? There we go. Well, I had to wake her up. I had to wipe the sleep from her eyes. She's laying in the corner. You know, that shows how entertaining we are. My own dog is, look, she's stretching again.
Yeah.
My own dog's got sleep in her eyes and she's stretching. We're just so boring. But thanks to the three kids, I'm sorry about that one name. I know I messed it up. It says, please don't mention, here's another email. Please don't mention my name.
Okay.
Listening to Abiding Presence for some time now and daily listening for several hours. Archives in loop. First, thank you. My question, absoluteness. I perceive I'm getting it, but just like today, I made a prayer regarding a financial situation. Didn't give much thought to it except to thank you, Grace, and thank you for working for me. Well, here I am, and obviously I failed, or wouldn't be asking. Not disappointed because I knew there is always tomorrow, just don't like failure. Not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen. Any light on this? Specific, please. I like this question. So this person didn't want their name mentioned, but they've got some kind of money deal going on, and they prayed about it, and nothing changed. And so they're thinking that maybe it'll change tomorrow, and they're wondering what happened.
That is a real good question.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing I was going to mention is this. The degree of value you place on this will either hinder you or it'll release you so that you can actually not care about it and God can get in the middle of it and do something. And that's a very difficult thing when possibly you've placed a lot of value on it, especially in the past. And now here you're coming to want to put grace on it and have God help you in this. And the first thing you're going to have to do is to reevaluate how much you care about this, how important this thing really is. That's my first thought.
That's a good one. I'm going to take a real harsh absoluteness to this because I think that this is a wonderful question, and I'm grateful and thankful that they emailed it into the show, and I think that it might have merit for other listeners. Okay, first of all, here it goes. Ask and you shall receive. All your sins are forgiven. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. If I take care of the birds and the bees, will I not take care of somebody made in my image? And my love is endless and boundless. Mm-hmm. And you will always be welcome in my life in heaven. All you have to do is choose that. Where in any of that is there a credit card bill? Where in any of that is there a bank statement? Where in any of that is there a satellite, cable TV, lawnmower, car payment, medical bill? There isn't. A lot of times, the reason a prayer isn't answered is because it's not a prayer. And the reason it's not a prayer isn't because you're not connected with grace. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're not a Christian. The reason a prayer isn't answered is because it's not a prayer. You're asking for something of the world and the flesh that has nothing to do with the safety, serenity, and enhancement of your spirit. And only you can know this. I mean, Jim and I could move into your house and live there for 5 years, and we couldn't ascertain the choices you're making and how and where your values are. What I'm trying to tell you is that quite possibly you might have to do what I like to call a spiritual diagnostic. Sit quietly, float in a bathtub, sit on the back porch, or just turn all the lights off in your house and zone out the world and say, exactly, why is this important? And whether it has a positive or negative outcome, how important is that to Christ? Because if it's not important to Christ, why would it be important to his children who are made in his image? That's how I answer that.
Okay.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it's good. Good perspective.
Harsh. It was harsh. Probably like, okay. Okay, how do you, well, I think we just did this. It says, how do you make a definitive line in the area of finances? I think we just kind of covered that.
Yeah, it's
I mean, ironically, this came in about 15 minutes ago. I don't have anything to add to this. Do you?
Well, you know, from studying, from my time with the Lord, the first thing, which is what you just made mention to, is to make the distinction between what's of the world and what's of your spirit. Because here's one of the things that I think, and it goes to tonight's topic, and that is you can be doing life the way other people have done it for so long that you actually grow up putting a lot of value and importance on things that to the Lord and to your spiritual position in Christ mean absolutely nothing. You know, the Lord did say, and he addressed the issue over in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, look at how I've clothed the birds of the air, or the birds of the air, and how I've clothed or fed the birds of the air and clothed the lilies of the field. He's trying to make some real strong statements there, because he goes on to equate that with the things that the Gentiles seek. In other words, the Gentiles are all about the flesh. Or he's talking about people that are not spiritually minded, are all about flesh, all about the world, all about materialism. And if you grow up with that mentality, you'll think that those things are really important. In fact, you know, we get up and then you get up on Sunday and you talk about how the Lord blessed me with a brand new this particular car or that particular car, and it was the Lord's blessing into my life. And we make so much of materialism that we bring it into the church, where people are then actually focusing their faith on materialism and what they can get out of God instead of focusing
there
their faith
go.
On God.
That's good.
And this is what Jesus was addressing. So if you go backwards, and this is what we're doing tonight, doing some history, and we'll bring out some more points like this that help us to go back enough to say, wow, things kind of got off there, didn't they? Because it didn't used to be that way. And then you begin to find yourself going, well, man, that's all I think about is saving enough money for the vacation and whether or not I can buy a new pair of Levi's. And it ought not to be where you're consumed.
I can't really speak intelligently about this because, you know, I've never been married and I don't have kids. But I can only imagine as a parent that you it's your child's birthday and you really never get to spend a lot of time with them, and so your kid comes up and says Wednesday tomorrow, that's the 11th of September, and you go, I know, honey, it's your birthday. And they go, yeah, it's my birthday. I wondered what you were going to do for my birthday. Well, I've never done this before for your birthday. And so the kid's all excited and they're, you know, got high hopes and visions of grandeur. And you say, I talked to my boss. I told him that I've never had a day off on my child's birthday. So tomorrow I'm going to take the whole day off. We're going to stay up late tonight. And I thought tomorrow we would just spend the whole day together and have fun and do whatever you want to do. And you can see, I could only imagine a kid's, you know, smile just turn to a blank look like, what?
Right.
And say, and then the first thing they say is, well, that's my gift, or that's all I get, or, you know, we're going to spend the day together doing things? Yeah, you don't even have to go to school. I already talked to your teacher. And then when the parent realizes,
right,
that the sacrifices and the effort all made out of love to dedicate themselves to their child, to avail themselves to please their child and to have open arms and have nothing but a one-on-one relationship. And the only thing the child can focus on is, it's my birthday, what's in it for me?
Right.
I want something special because other people have it. Now take out birthdays and take out a parent and a child and put in Christ in a Christian.
Sure.
How disappointing is that when someone says, what's in it for me? And their measurement, the bar is raised high, but it's a bar that is measured in flesh and worldly terms.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the essence of the greatest sin of all. And if you make an assessment, it's like I tell people, I really don't pray that much. And when I do, they're prayers that most people would think were a little weird. I had three prayers answered in less than 5 minutes on Saturday. I was sitting on a four-wheeler under a shade tree drinking water.
Right.
And I said, well, guys, this would be a real good time for people to come knead hay. Because this is a part of the ranch that is tough to get the trucks and trailers into. And if somebody just had a little bit of money and they wanted really good hay, now's the time for you to get them here. And my cell phone starts ringing, and this guy says, well, I only need two bales of hay. And I go, why do you need two bales of hay? And he says, well, we just adopted some Galapagos Island turtles that are the size of tractor tires, and they eat grass. And he says, but it costs so much money, we don't have a lot of money. And I says, well, I think I can help you out with a couple of cheap bales. And then the phone, I hang up from him, give him directions. I just say goodbye. My phone rings again. And here's a lady that says she doesn't have a lot of money because her car was broken into and her purse was stolen. And she's out of hay for her daughter's pony. And it just went one right after another. And it showed that the people's needs were not greedy.
Right.
Their needs really weren't thinking of themselves. It was either a neighbor was sick and out of town and their animals needed hay, or it was turtles, or it was a pony. It showed that grace was taking care of the things that are important. Now, the testimony isn't the fact that the prayer that I had three prayers instantly answered. No, if you think that's it, you are sadly mistaken. The testimony of for me is to show that the unlimited, unimaginable way that grace molds and glues everything together to show the power of God, and how one can help another, and how everything benefits, and it all makes sense like a long row of dominoes.
Right,
one tips over another.
Yeah, but even look at how grace helped in that scenario, because we've got scriptures that talk about grace concerning finances, and one of the ways that it talks about it is God blessing you with enough that you might not only have what you need, but also being able to help others. And look at your attitude toward it, which was, you know, now would be a really good time to sell some of these bales of hay. You're not saying, I want to sell these bales of hay so I can go buy this that I don't need and go spend money on this that's just frivolous or ridiculous. Right. And it's not to say someone can't buy something either, but the point is, look at all the attitudes of all the people. We're all, in a sense, so pure, and God brought all that together. If people would put more emphasis on their trade, the things that they do in life, being able to benefit and help other people, and Lord, I would love to sell some of the things that I sell because I know how important it would be for other people to experience this. It's blessed my life. I know it'll bless theirs. Those are the type of prayers that can help. God can work with those prayers. God can instantly answer those. And you begin to see some wonderful change because the heart, motive, and attitude isn't materialistic. It's not of this world. That's my take on what you just said.
We got an email that came in. It says, it's important not to owe anyone. Don't want to put people in a bind by owing. Not buying stuff that is unnecessary. College tuition. Email earlier was about that. And getting a car fixed, the tires. This is a person that said they have financial things. See, here once again is why so many religious organizations, instructions, and buildings and people are really on their toes, are hanging off the edge, but they don't have grace in their life because of compromises and adjustments on the absoluteness of it, to justify college tuition, to justify tires. I mean, it's real easy to compromise and try to bring Christianity into this world on a material or human level. I mean, think about it. There's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh. Where is there anything other than animals and plants and the planet Earth itself that doesn't encompass?
Yeah.
Because isn't the testimony showing that if you literally give it up to God, that grace will take care of these things? Because if you think they're an issue and you think they're important, then there's not room for grace to take care of these issues,
right,
or for grace to make them unimportant.
Right, and that's the whole point of it.
Because think of it this way. Most of the time somebody's on their deathbed, or there's a plane crash, or they're adrift at sea in a raft, or there's an overturned car, or they're in a prison cell getting ready to die, or it's a child. All these people have one thing in common, is that they don't have distractions, complications. They don't have to compromise on their energy to focus on being a Christian.
Right.
And I think that's telling.
Well, you know, this goes back. Maybe you're getting ready to do another email here, but I'll insert this thought. This goes back all the way to one of the first things that happened, if we do our history with Adam and Eve. When you look at the punishment that came as a result of Adam and Eve, and what Adam and Eve did is they're walking around with God, not even recognizing, because you know you have to go over to the third chapter of Genesis and the seventh verse to find out that when they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And the reason they did that is because walking around with God, we find that the very first time that they actually looked at their flesh, or the flesh became an issue, was once they sinned. Which shows you that as spiritual beings walking with God, the flesh was never an issue.
Right.
It was needed because it was the anti-gravity suit, you could say,
right,
or the gravity suit on the earth. But it wasn't the center of attention or focus. The spirit was. And look at what Adam and Eve did. They literally gave up the right to be spirit beings by submitting themselves to flesh.
Yeah.
And then once they were flesh beings, in other words, flesh became dominant, punishment was accepted, and from that moment, it's all about the flesh.
We talked about course corrections, that one of the things we're going to cover on tonight's show, the course corrections that Christ made. One of the biggest course corrections, dramatic and violent, to show the frivolousness of this world,
yes,
and our bodies, was the crucifixion of his own son.
Right.
The fact that he let his son get beat up by a gang and then nailed to a fence post and then sent to hell on a sleepover for 3 days before he could go home was a perfect example of the unimportance of what people think their reality is and what real is.
Yeah.
And what false is. I think this is one. I like this question. It says, "What you said, BJ? BJ says Jesus likes to bale hay. BJ does it for income and to feed his horses. How is this different than our jobs and our bills and our heat bills?" I think this is a good question. I like it.
I do too.
Okay, the hay that we bale here on the ranch does not feed the horses. We have so many acres and that literally every horse on the ranch has 40 to 50 acres of grass to graze. The reason I square bale is because there isn't very many square bales available and there's a more demand for them. Square bales are healthier for horses than round bales. I provide jobs for a lot of people that they count. They're disappointed when I'm done baling hay. There's a trickle down effect here of positive things. And the income from the hay, there is a profit. It goes back into the ranch to make more hay. I literally don't even buy a candy bar with any of the money from hay. I literally don't.
Right.
I mean, I make a lot of money off the hay, but it's turned around to develop more hay ground, to provide hay for people that don't have a lot of money.
Right.
It's that. But I think that's a great question. And to go about your bills and your heat bills and things, look at the question you're asking me and look what's important to you. It's important to you for you and I to talk about our bills and our income when we really should be talking about our testimonies and what grace has done for us. Because the more we think about our bills
right.
and our to-do list and our obligations, those are literally seconds. Remember, we talked about having two stopwatches in each hand. The stopwatch in your left hand is Christianity and grace and being a spirit being, and the stopwatch in your right hand is the flesh and the world and all the intricacies, dramatics, and issues that it has. And it's literally like when you turn one stopwatch on, the other one is turned off. The more that you ignore the worldly clock, the worldly watch in your hand, and the more you watch that clock of grace and Christianity spin, grace will take care of these. But a lot of times, unfortunately, through habit, through generations, through thousands of years, we have come to try to make Christianity and grace fit our lives, when in reality, we should dismiss our lives and try to get our hearts and souls to fit Christianity.
Right. Well, it goes like a statement like this.
Thank you for that question, by the way.
Which is, the more time you spend trying to get God to make something right, the less time you're spending giving thanks to God for the grace of God that's already made so many wonderful things right.
Yep.
It's the opposite. In fact, 3 John... John has 3 epistles. In the 3rd epistle...
What?
John has 3 epistles. He wrote 3 letters outside of the
gospel.
Why didn't
you just say that?
Well, I did in 3 John, verse 2.
No, why did you use... What was the word?
Epistles.
Why didn't you just say there's a guy named John and he wrote something 3 times?
Well, maybe that's just because I was used to saying epistles, but anyhow, he wrote something 3 times. He wrote 3 different letters. And in the 2nd verse, he said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So what we would do if we were getting this wrong is we're saying, see, John wants us to be healthy and to be prosperous. He said he wanted that, but as our soul prospers. In other words, if you put 2 and 2 together, if your soul begins to prosper, then why in the world wouldn't you find that it would trickle down into you recognizing there's no reason for you to ever be sick again, that you're healthy and you're whole, and you wouldn't have all the drama of life chasing materialism. You would have everything you need and more chasing you. So the emphasis is putting your thoughts on the prosperity of your soul, increasing inwardly.
I like that. I'm going to give everybody the most terrible, exaggerated, worldly flesh example
okay.
of what it's like to be a Christian and enjoy grace.
Okay.
From a worldly standpoint, maybe it'll help them.
All right.
Whenever you meet a teenager, a high schooler, and they've got really nice clothes and really nice complexion, and their teeth are nice and white and straight, and they're driving a very expensive car, the kind of car that maybe a college student or an adult would have. And they come over to visit your kids. And after they leave, you say, what does their parents do for a living? And your kids say, oh, well, my new friend, you ought to see their house. Oh, my gosh. They've got maids and servants and butlers and chauffeurs, and their dad drives a Ferrari. And, oh, yeah, you ought to see what his other brother drives. They're just dripping with money. They're billionaires. They can, and they say, oh, okay, that explains it. You know that kid wants for nothing. That child has no worries because the parents have so much money, so many material things, that the only reason that person's life could be sad or bad would be because that person chooses not to enjoy the luxuries of the billions of dollars that the parents and the lifestyle that it comes with. Okay. Now, think of Christianity like this. The only way a person like yourself, me, or Jim, or anybody that listens to this show has pain or suffering or strife or issues or dramas is because on some very simple, ridiculously juvenile level, we are in our own way.
Yeah.
Because if you really agree with a scripture that says you're a child of God, you're my children, you're made in my image, you'll do greater works for me. If you believe all this, then the only thing that can possibly keep you from grace, from the riches of Christianity, from the love of God, must be something that you are manufacturing and creating, and also building up. Did that make sense?
It did, and I've got something to go with that.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Over in...
It talks about spoiled little rich kids? No, it doesn't. Hey, guess what? Todd and Cheryl are listening from Broken Arrow, and they're eating Rice Krispie treats. We've got kids eating ice cream. We've got adults eating Krispie treats. You know what we're responsible for now?
I know.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're living in grace, there's no such thing as tooth decay.
Well, that's good to know.
You didn't know that? See, folks, this is... Oh, also, guess what? Hi, from Dave and Barb in Minnesota.
Okay, you want to hear what I got?
I'm dying to hear what you got.
This is really good. It goes right along with what BJ was talking about, and I really like the analogy there, the story, how it related to grace and how much of the riches of God's grace that there is. Because it goes on to say in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses or sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And this is the verse here, "that in the ages to come he might show you the exceeding riches of his kindness, of his grace, excuse me, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." All right, I want to read that out of the Message Bible too, especially verse 7. And so the reason why I wanted to read this, I've got a reason here. Hold on. "Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea." Here's my point. Isn't it interesting? In heaven, where there is no flesh, quote-unquote, that doesn't mean we won't have a new flesh and bone body, but there is no flesh like we know it on this world, in this world, God has then no barriers or hindrances from flesh and from the world to keep back his grace from us.
Right.
And we're going to see the lavishness of his grace forever and ever and ever, and it'll never run out. So what does that tell you? Wherever you're not seeing God's grace on this earth, it has to be because there is flesh or there is world.
Let's talk about the course corrections that Christ has made through the ages of man being on this earth that I think solidify what we're talking about tonight. Let's talk about the first one, the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
A major course correction.
Right.
Adam and Eve. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, work, childbearing, taking the wheels off of the serpent, turning it into a venomous snake that's supposed to bite at people's legs. The course correction there was showing that you had two people, the only two people, in heaven, known as the Garden of Eden. And they were literally booted out the door because they literally couldn't follow the rules.
Right.
And there was only one rule. don't mess with the apple tree. And they messed it up.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think the next biggest course correction that Christ and grace are trying to show mankind that they're going down the wrong road? What do you think it is?
Yeah, well, I'll say this just on the backside of what you're saying with Adam and Eve, and that is, I mean, everything went very, very quickly out of whack. I mean, from Adam and Eve, it didn't take long for it to go south really, really fast.
Right.
And that's even with the fact that God's voice was still discernible.
Yeah.
But man had accepted flesh rather than spirit.
Turn their back.
And that's what made it go sideways. Well, the next is Noah.
Yeah.
And the ark.
Yeah,
and
the major toilet bowl flushing of the world.
Yeah, which is amazing because I got a couple scriptures here I wanted to read. In verse 5 of Genesis 6, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every listen to the words he says.
Yeah.
Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually."
Okay, now let's think about this for a second.
This isn't very long.
Adam and Eve are created. They're literally spending 24 hours, 7 days a week with God, with Christ,
right,
camping out in the Garden of Eden. No bugs, no mosquitoes. I mean, you know, Pizza Hut is delivering pizza to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's a perfect environment.
Right.
And they mess it up. And not very many generations down the line, there's this guy named Noah, and God says, you know, Noah, you need to trade in your bass boat, and you're going to have to build a really big boat, like the biggest boat, because the only thing that I think really doesn't need to go is the animals and you to scoop the poop.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. He expels every man and woman from the Garden of Eden. There's only two, but out of two, it's still 100% course correction. They got to go. We got to start over.
Yeah.
The next thing is everybody is gone except for the animals and the people to scoop the poop. What's the next one after? I think the next one.
Well, before we get to the next one, let me read in the Message Bible what it says here. This is really good.
It talks about scooping poop?
Well, kind of. It says here in verse 5 of Genesis 6, and I'm going to read to about verse 11. It says, "God saw the human evil was out of control." This is the Message Bible. "People thought evil, imagined evil, 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 from morning to night. God was sorry that he had made the human race in the first place. It broke his heart. God said, I'll get rid of my ruined creation, snakes, bugs, birds, the works, animals. I'm sorry I made them." But Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. This is the story of Noah. Noah was a good man, a man of integrity in his community. Noah walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. As far as God was concerned, the earth had become a sewer. There was violence everywhere. God took one look and saw how bad it was. Everyone corrupt and corrupting, life itself corrupt to the core. And he said to Noah, it's all over. It's the end of the human race. The violence is everywhere. I'm making a clean sweep.
And then, folks, we've had an escalation of force. We've had an escalation of violence. And we've had something more dramatic and more encompassing and more matter of fact, because we've gone from just kicking Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, we've actually gone now to where everybody's gone but a few on the boat and all the animals. The next one, what do you think the next one is? The next big correction?
Well, I'm going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, which was another course correction, because again, things went so out of control that it was evil continually. And that's where I see that things get so bad, where men's hearts are flipped like 180 degrees.
Well,
and they don't recognize right from wrong anymore.
Look how they were worshiping God. They were, what'd they build? Like a solid gold Jeep?
No, you're talking about the Tower of Babel?
Is that what it was? I thought it was a solid gold ATV or something.
Oh, no. There was a solid gold calf. That was Moses.
Oh. There wasn't a solid gold ATV?
No.
Huh.
That was Moses in the desert, and the people, when Moses went up into the mountain, they built a solid gold calf and began to worship it instead of God.
Well, you got bad town and worse town.
Yes.
And they're gone.
Right.
Okay. Well, so we've got, and then look what happened to the people that were chasing Moses.
Exactly. Yeah, that's in the Red Sea, all of Egypt's army.
Yeah, he took that giant lake.
Right.
Or pond, or whatever it was.
Split it in two.
Yeah, he split the creek in half, and they got through, and then it swallowed up everything behind them.
Yeah.
Once again, more violence, more absolute, more matter-of-fact to the point, this is not humanity. This is not what I want or the course we're going. And then, of course, the next one.
Yeah, well, the next one would be Jesus.
And look what he did to his own son.
Right.
This guy is just walking around with a backpack and his hiking boots, and he's got 12 of his buddies, his little, what'd you call them?
Disciples.
Disciples. Let's go with buddies.
Okay.
Because we got kids listening.
Sure.
So here you got Jesus. He's got his backpack on, and he's got his hiking boots. And they're just traveling around the country, these 13 guys, helping people and telling everybody how life doesn't have to be so hard, that things can be good. And we as human beings, we still can't get the message. Now look where we are. We've had Adam and Eve. We've had Noah. We've had Sodom and Gomorrah, and we've had Moses.
Right.
Four times, and each time it gets more serious.
Well, wicked and vile.
Yes, more violent.
And then
I like that. More wicked, more vile, yeah. More dangerous.
Yeah.
Every time God ramps things up, he
right.
takes another giant step forward. Okay, in saying enough is enough. And now look, he literally shortens the lifespan of his son. Christians are meeting in secret, and they're ostracized. They're being burned, hung, drowned, stoned. They can't even admit to their neighbors that they're a Christian, that they believe in the man from, where was he from? Detroit? No, not Detroit. Where was Jesus from?
Well, I mean, he was born in Bethlehem, but he was from Galilee.
Close.
Okay.
Close enough. So anyways, he literally starves him. He gets beaten. He has to drag his own cross through town.
Right.
Then he's nailed to it.
Yep.
Dies a slow death. Then they throw him in a cave. And then just because he's trying to show that there's more of the body, there's more to Christianity and grace.
There's more to life than just the body.
There's more. There's always more.
Yeah.
Endless, boundless, no limits. I'm going to send my own son to hell for 3 days just because to show you.
Yeah, the price had to be paid.
That no matter how bad it gets, that there is something positive if you stay the course.
Price had to be paid for men to have a spiritual connection that would be everlasting.
Yeah. And look at the one to come, the book of Revelations,
right?
When all the stops are pulled out.
Yeah.
Now, think about these things that Jim and I have mentioned to you. It shows the distractions, the manipulation, the twisting of Christianity, the buildings, the structures, the religious ridiculousness, the waste of time of worshiping when you're going in the wrong direction. All those millions of people through 2,000 years that were off base, off course, and they weren't on. Now think about it. If the Garden of Eden is the first book in the Bible and everything was perfect, if man's journey, because remember, he knows the Alpha and Omega, he knows the beginning and the end, he knows exactly what it's going to have. And then he threw in there, hey, whatever you decide, whatever you do, don't worry about it. I forgive you. You're my child. I love you. All your sins are forgiven. But yet, there's revelations. And what happens after revelations? Heaven, streets, buildings, cereal bowls.
New heaven, new earth.
Cookie sheets, muffin pans, yep. made of gold. Why? Because there's nothing good of the flesh and there's nothing good of the world. And no matter what happened to Adam and Eve, Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, Moses, even his own son, humanity as a whole was clueless.
Yeah, well, if you look at the definitiveness of how God actually brought punishment upon the face of the earth, the different times that we're talking about, and how that there was the course of action that was taken, it has to speak of how off man got, how twisted he's like 180 degrees going the wrong direction for something to become so absolute, for there to be a stop and then a restart.
This is the last thing that I'm going to say on what I've been saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we got an email to read. Folks, if you want to email the show, do it. There's still time. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com or send us a text. Jim BJ, first word that you type in your text. We love him. You won't interrupt. Okay, this is what I want to say. Now, let's think for a second. Let's put this in, I hate this term, earthly, fleshly, worldly ways.
Okay.
You're a parent and you have a child. Okay. The first thing when your child does bad is you give them a timeout. You punish them. And you tell them not to do it again. Then maybe the next time you have to yell at them. Maybe you take some toys away. Maybe you have to spank them. And then they still don't listen and they still don't obey and you don't understand because you know they know it's wrong and you know that they've been punished, but yet they just seem to ignore and disregard it altogether. And they continue to do wrong and be wrong. So you punish them harder. And every time their bad behavior, their bad attitude, the way they're living their life has dire consequences. Every time it gets worse because you don't understand why they didn't learn the first time. Now look at the book of the progression of things. What we're talking about. You've got Adam and Eve. You've got Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, Moses, Jesus, and the coup de grace to get rid of all of this mess, the book of Revelations. Now think about this progression and what's important in your life and how you conduct yourself. Got an email here. It says, to summarize what has been said, focus on grace and what it has done for you, and the other stuff will be taken care of in an extravagant manner. Yeah, that's a good email. That came in about 15 minutes ago.
Good.
Okay, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because you are a parent, right?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, we better say hi to your family. Does your family ever listen to the show?
Aaron listens to it, and Allie was, now that she's going to school, I know she's going to start listening to it, too.
You ought to make a CD, and the three of you could listen to it on the way to Georgia, since we've talked about Georgia and going to school.
Yeah, I'll have the...
And how she's trying to escape from you guys.
Yeah.
To have a life of her own from out and under the thumb of the parents.
I don't even have to make a CD. I can just download it to my iPad.
Well,
she can listen to it.
Aren't you fancy?
Yep.
Okay, this is my question to you as a parent. Is there not an escalation of punishment when your girls have continued to disregard or not listen and just do the same thing wrong again and again?
Well, yeah, as far as the consequences are concerned, I mean, there's the punishment would be to possibly take away some things or time out or there be...
But I mean every time it's and then finally they say, why are you being so mean? And you say, well, why didn't you stop doing it when...
Right.
The first time.
Yeah, you're trying to help them to make a better choice and to realize what's going on. And if they're not getting it, then something has to stop.
I think what you just said there, I think the most important thing is the right choice. You know, if I give you a flashlight as a Christmas gift and you stub your toe or trip over your coffee table because the lights go out in your house during a storm, well, that's your fault. If the flashlight I gave you as a Christmas gift is somewhere in a closet, you don't know where it is, and you say, oh, we had a storm last night, the electricity went out, I tripped over the coffee table, and now I have a bruise. Well, what happened to the flashlight I gave you for Christmas? Oh, I don't know, it's in the closet somewhere. Well, what does that say about how special you think my gift was? But if I give you a flashlight last year for Christmas, and this year I come over to your house for the holidays and the flashlight's dented, and you've got a package of batteries on the kitchen counter, and it shows like you use that flashlight all the time, how happy and pleased would I be that you're using my gift? And I say, where'd that dent come from in the flashlight? Well, I was trying to keep the door open, and so I just used the flashlight to keep the door open. I'm glad I had it. It's a great gift. Well, that's not an insult. That means that you like the gift so much that you're becoming creative, and you're using your imagination to use that flashlight for other things than what you thought you had with it. Welcome to Grace and Christianity. How are you using your grace? How's your creativity? How's your imagination? Think of this email earlier in the show when these parents' kids saying that they have invisible bottles of grace and they're throwing them like hand grenades so that the power of Jesus' love explodes whenever they throw one of these bottles. This is coming from children. Do you know why it came from a child and not an adult? Because they're not concerned with the issues of the day. The responsibilities of an adult. You don't understand the financial battles. You don't understand my knees hurt. Oh no, Jim and I understand. That's why we have this radio show. We're trying to help you understand there's something beautiful, something powerful, something wonderful that if you just give it a shot.
You know, as you're listening to the show tonight, I'm trusting that you're interpreting what we're saying here accurately, because as I look at this and see the history that we're bringing out and just showing you that history repeats itself, and the seriousness of what takes place as man continues to spin out of control, the multiple times where God would bring things back, helping to realign man with his original purpose and intention, that man would begin to have fellowship with him again. And you realize, is God inflicting people? Well, no, God's not inflicting people. But that's the whole idea of man being made in the image and likeness of God. You bring affliction upon your own head. I mean, think of it this way. Jesus died that we would, and his back was bloodied, that we would be free from all sickness and disease. And on this earth, still, you see more sickness today than in any other time in the world. Part of that is because you have more humanity on the earth at one particular time. My point is, if Jesus defeated sickness, why is it here? It's because man continues to believe in it. And this is something that man continues to do. He brings his own judgment upon his head. And my purpose of saying this is to say, if you see these patterns all through the Bible of man being so distorted and messing up to the degree where basically he's going 180 degrees and God has to put brakes on and help man to turn around and see things the way that they should be seen, then what's the potential with today and the access to technology to literally have knowledge increase out of control? Like Daniel said, in the last day, knowledge shall increase. Well, folks, if you see the knowledge that's increasing, it's really the knowledge of the world. And with it out of control, what's the possibility today that what we think is up is down, what we think is in is out? What's the possibility that most of humanity's going the wrong way and the lack of evidence of God's grace proves that it's so? These are the hard questions that I'm trusting that you're interpreting tonight's show to ask yourself. Am I seeing grace in my life? Am I experiencing grace in my life? And if you're not, then looking at your life and saying, if faith isn't working, it's because of the way I do life.
One of my best attitudes is, I don't care because it's grace's job to care about me.
Right.
I say that every day. I don't care. It's Grace's job to care about me.
Well, it's the same thing as I'm handling all your problems.
Yep.
I don't need your help. Have a great day.
Yep.
That little plaque of mine.
We got a hello, Jim and BJ. Enjoying listening. Here it comes. I love it. It says, we're enjoying listening in Morgan Hill, California, Grandpa and Grandma.
Oh, that's great.
We haven't heard from them in a while.
No, we haven't.
They're not our grandparents. They're just an older couple that lives in Morgan Hill, California. I like that. You know, I could be friends with this guy because he's got a .22 rifle and he shoots gophers.
Doesn't he shoot coyotes too? Or is it gophers?
I thought he just shot gophers in his yard.
Anyhow.
You know, I got to say this. I mean, I don't want to lose two listeners for you, but when I hear about a guy shooting gophers with a rifle, I think about that movie with Bill Murray on the golf course.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
When he's chasing.
Caddyshack.
Is that the name of the movie?
Caddyshack, yeah.
Yeah, he's chasing that gopher on a golf course. I hope that's
And he blew it up.
I hope that's not happening in Morgan Hill.
No, I don't think it is.
Maybe we better get our prayer team together.
Oh, boy.
I know. We can sell them a prayer cloth.
That's right.
Yeah.
We could actually just give them one. Hey, I've got a great scripture here that I think fits really, 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 really well. And, you know, before we're done, will you tell the story about the whole idea of the earth being flat? Okay? Tell that in just a second. But let me give you this scripture.
Okay.
It says in the Message Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and starting in verse 10, it says, "But you've seen and heard it, because God by His Spirit has brought it all out into the open before you." This is where it gets good. "The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but He lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that He is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. We're passing it on to you in the same first-hand, personal way. The unspiritual self," this is good, "just by its nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, 'Is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what He's doing?' has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit." And that shows us really how important it is that we tune into who we are as spiritual beings in relationship with Jesus Christ. Because without it, your head can't get stuff. Your flesh can't get it.
No, nothing.
It's not supposed to be.
You're stuck and you're lost.
There you go.
In the world.
And that relates to the whole Christopher Columbus, the world's flat, people being persecuted because they believed that it was round. Can you tell a little bit of that?
Okay. First, I want to give people something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Without a doubt, the United States of America is basically known as the capital of Christianity. More Christians, Christian-based government, military.
Right.
You know, that's what the world thinks of us. The United States of America is only about 5 to 8% of the world's population. But you know what's really interesting about this? We're only about 5 to 7% of the world's population. The world thinks of us as a Christian-based country. But the United States of America, the citizens in this country, we consume 80% of the world's pain pills and prescription drugs.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, think about that. We are a Christian-based country.
I mean,
there are structures.
How twisted is that?
There are structures and buildings everywhere. Out in the country, in cities, there's two big building structure colleges, university schools right here in Tulsa. And 80% of the world's prescription drugs and pain pills are consumed by the people in this country? Because I know for a fact, if you asked 75 to 80% of the population of the United States, do you believe in God? Are you a Christian? They would say yes, with all commitment. Because then you have to ask, well, why are you taking all these pills? Folks, right. This shows the miscommunication, the distraction, the irony, and unfortunately, just a smattering of hypocrisy in this reality known as our world. Okay, I want you to think about something, how you really have to be imaginative, creative, and brave to be a Christian. That's right, you have to be brave and strong, you have to have commitment and conviction, and most of all, you have to be creative and imaginative. In other words, people might think you crazy, they might get mad at you, they might ask you never to come back to where you're worshiping. They might tell you that you've lost your way and that quite possibly there should be an intervention or you should be punished. And this is my example. Now remember, 2,000 years of miscommunication, misinformation, the blind leading the blind, one generation misinforming another generation. Many hundreds of years ago, it was fact. It wasn't disputed. The maps proved it. The books proved it. Anybody who was anybody knew that the world was flat. That if you got into a wooden boat with sails and oars, whether you sailed to the south or the north or the east or the west, sooner or later, you would drop off the earth. Now, if you disputed that the earth was flat, if you said, no, the earth is round, they put you in jail. Bread and water in a dungeon, in the tower of a castle. They would torture you until you admitted that the world was flat. They'd burn you at the stake, accuse you of witchcraft. They'd throw stones at you. They would kill your children because they figured if you're crazy, so will your children. You were ostracized. You were literally considered to be not just wrong, but poison, because you might convince somebody else that the world isn't flat. Now, if you were a scientist, a mathematician, an astronomer, you started to think about things because you'd say, wait a minute. The sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west. And in the morning, it's low in the horizon and it's highest at noon. And in the afternoon, it sets in the west. The sun comes to us every day in half of a circle in an arch. And at night, the moon does the same thing. And the stars in the sky, they seem to move in an arch. And when it rains or there's a spring shower, a rainbow is in an arch. In a half circle. Because if the world was truly flat, would the sun not just come at us in a straight line? Would the moon not travel through the night sky in a straight line? Would the stars not just keep their position? And would a rainbow not be flat as a pancake? But yet all these things that are so out of the control of man seem to have an arch, like they're traveling in a circle. How can the earth be flat? Now I'm going to ask you some questions. If all prayers are answered and we're made in the image of Christ and we are the children of God and all of our sins are forgiven, and that all you have to do is ask and receive, and there is a heaven and there is a hell. And there's no question that God's love is endless and boundless, and we literally can't imagine or create how wonderful His love is and what heaven is like. And His Son's blood paid for our sins, and the love of God is truly a gift. If you agree and you say yes to these things, then why do you give tangibility to your body in the world? Why do you spend so much time worrying and wishing for satisfaction of the world and the body when you should be enjoying the satisfaction of God's love?
That's really good.
I just made that up.
Yeah, this is good, BJ, because I think that summarizes what our show is about. Just talking about that. And then the scripture that I read, I think, helps summarize it too. That it's the unspiritual self, just by its nature, can't receive from God's Spirit. There's no capacity for it. And this is the reason why we're helping people to discover that they're spiritual beings and that they can stay connected to God by their Spirit, making simple choices of the Spirit. In fact, I was talking with somebody the other day. This is at our last Wednesday night meeting. Actually, it was at our house because the library had something going on and we couldn't meet there. But one of the guys and I, we were talking, and he made a comment about how that he, when he thinks about what we're saying, at times he finds himself feeling like maybe some of it is works-based, like he's trying to work to do the right thing. And I said, well, if that's the case, then we're not seeing it correctly, because it's right. Not works-based.
No.
And it's not works consciousness or
it's
sin
gift
conscious.
It's love-based.
I said, it's becoming choice conscious. Conscious of choices that you make that allows what God has done through Christ to become experienced. Because without making those choices as a spiritual being, how can then you receive of the Spirit? You can't. And that's just what you got through saying. The world didn't want somebody to think that it was round.
No.
Because they wanted it as they had it,
because
where they could control it.
That would mean that people would have to change, that control would be lost.
Right.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, I like business. I really like business.
Right.
You know, just coming up with an idea, creating it, making it work, and just watching it go. There's a saying in business that the first person through the wall always gets bloodied. That even if it's better, healthier, stronger, whatever it is, that society and the rest of business will resist because they're worried about losing control.
Right.
They're afraid that their hand will be pulled off the switches and levers and they'll be set adrift and they won't have the power anymore. So they resist. A perfect example of that is wind and solar energy. Jim, did you know that in the 1890s,
okay,
they had battery-operated cars? In the late 1890s and the early 1900s, they had a race. And they had a battery-operated car that would go 35 miles an hour for 120 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a battery-operated car.
Huh.
Now, fast forward 113 years.
Right.
We have a battery-operated car that goes 35 miles an hour and goes 110 miles. There's been no advancement. The reason there's been no advancement in environmental friendly things like solar energy and wind power is because there's no money in it.
Sure.
If you can harvest the wind and you can harvest the sun, you don't need a major oil company at all.
Right.
Now, here's where I'm going with this, folks. I want you to think I'm some kind of a environmental activist, because I'm not. I'm an active environmentalist, and there is a difference. If you can find grace on your own, and you can have your prayers answered, and you can watch Jeopardy or Sesame Street or boxing on HBO with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and grace. And your testimony is how you help others to find grace themselves. What need would there be for you to go somewhere on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in your church shoes? Why would you have to make a commitment to a group of unproducing people? You wouldn't. So think about this. Change is very hard for people to do, because the biggest thing that happens when change happens is there's a difference in who's in charge.
Right.
Folks, is your religion in charge, or is Christ in charge? You got something you want to say to music about this?
I do. Yep. Well, Father, I thank you for the truth that's come out tonight, for your word that always helps us to understand who you are. I thank you, Lord, that we can also experience you on a personal and regular basis. And Father, I give you praise tonight. And as I think back to your word, I see that when people repent, when they make a change, that's when grace is able to move in and begin to do a wonderful work in their heart. So I pray for everyone listening tonight that as we do assessments in our life and open ourselves up to the what if and maybe, as we're willing to look at our lives as we see it and as we've known it and question, are we really experiencing reality, God on every level? Are our prayers really being answered? I pray, Lord God, that every person listening tonight would begin to do that inner inspection, and that you would begin to move upon their heart and show them and reveal to them where they can make changes in simple little decisions that literally, as spiritual beings connected to you, will allow grace to literally take over our lives, where we can see you and feel you and experience you and enjoy being a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that wasn't too bad. That was kind of good.
Good.
You know, I think I owe somebody an apology that's listening to the show.
What's that?
Do you recall, did I say hello to Sue in California?
I'm not sure.
I'm not either, because I've got a text message on the screen here on the barn wall, and it says, "Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger from Sue in California."
Oh, okay.
I don't think I said that.
I don't think so either.
And I think it came in a long time ago. I mean, like maybe 15, 20 minutes ago. Speaking of 15, 20 minutes, folks, that's how long it'll take me to get tonight's broadcast up and rolling, 24 hours, 7 days a week until next week, Tuesday night's live show. So just be patient. Check out the archives. And also, I want to say hello and welcome to any new listeners. And if somebody logged on to the show late in the show, just be patient, because in about 15, 20 minutes, I'll have it up and streaming. And you'll be able to enjoy it. There won't be any dead air. As soon as Jim and I say goodnight, last week's show will play until I can get next week's show from one computer to another and okay. Then on the internet. Well, okay, let's talk. Did we cover what you wanted to cover? Because I'm not clear if we did.
Oh, yeah. I think we did.
Do you?
Just helping people to have a better sense of and more openness to what is really of the spirit and to what is really of the flesh. Because
yeah.
what I see is people are having a really hard time in the life that they know being able to make that distinction.
Yeah.
It's very difficult in the day we live. We're going so fast, and everybody's going together, and the whole group concept works whether you're in a religious building or whether you're in a school, or whether you're in any type of function. People are having a hard time making that distinction, and that's where the ones that make it are the ones that seem to go the farthest and the fastest.
Hey, we just got an email.
Okay.
It says, "I'm a brand new listener. I've only been listening for a month, but I've already listened to half of the shows on the archives."
Oh, wow. That's
oh,
great.
Oh, man. You need to take a break.
That's really...
Get out and enjoy the day. Get some snacks.
Right.
I hope you're not shut in. Maybe they're a prisoner or something. I don't know. But I love this question. They like the show, and... I don't think anybody's ever asked this question before. It says, "Where do you see this radio show in a couple of years going?"
Oh, wow.
That's an interesting question. Well, it's your show. Where do you see it in a couple of years?
Well, you and I have kind of talked a little bit about how this show may turn into a live show with a live audience someday. And
It's live, but you mean people actually watching us do the show.
Yeah, watching us do the show and interacting with a live audience. So, and of course, to a degree, we have a live audience, obviously, over the radio.
Yeah,
over
but
the
what
internet.
We would do is have a room full of people watching us do the show.
Yeah.
I think that would be
good. And that would turn out to be possibly our Wednesday night service.
I think that way, because then people could actually, like, stand up and ask us questions.
Yeah, and then there would be time afterwards and all for ministry, people, you know, receiving things or being helped. And I think it would be, it's possible. I mean, if you're asking us that question, those are just possibilities.
But if we have people watching us do this show on a Tuesday night, there's going to be a sign at the front door, bring your own snacks.
Okay.
I'm serious. I don't want a room full of people taking my bugles or something.
Right.
Where do I see this show in a couple of years? I'd like to see this show on a large piece of property somewhere. I don't really care if it's Colorado, Montana, Oregon, Maine, Missouri, or Oklahoma, or I don't know, somewhere. New Jersey wouldn't bother me. Anywhere. A large piece of property where kids can come in the summertime and spend 4 or 5 weeks learning about nature and animals.
That'd be cool.
And grace. Having little cabins where couples could come, remarry and renew their marriage vows, become closer, work their problems out with grace. Teach people about wind and solar energy and ecology. Have a huge hole in the ground. I mean, like a hole big enough, like for a football stadium size hole, where people could come to the ranch and just throw wheelchairs, walkers, and crutches in this hole for the world to see that people don't need them.
Right.
And have a huge plexiglass box the size of my barn, with steps that people could throw contacts and glasses and prescription drugs in to say, I don't need them anymore. And to have a place where people could come and meet each other and brag about what their prayers are doing.
I think that's great.
I mean, I'd be willing to do it tomorrow after chores.
Okay.
And of course there'd be horses.
Right.
And Ranger. And Mitch and Muffy. Yes. Would you let Mitch and Muffy come out to a place like that?
I think they'd love it.
Yeah?
Especially Muffin would, yeah.
Now, which one's that? The white one?
They're both white.
The boy?
They're both boys.
Yeah, that's my point.
I didn't have much choice in that, you know, Bucko.
All right, folks. We talked about a lot of serious things this evening, so we wanted to give you some imagination, some creativity, and to end with hopefully a smile on your face. I know I hope that you've enjoyed the show and that it benefits you in some way in your family. I want to thank everybody for listening. Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, it was a great show. I really think if you got the import of what we were saying, that it's going to help you and you're going to find that making decisions and experiencing God will become easier.
Well, take care of yourself and your pets.
Good night, everyone.
And we'll see you next week. Ranger? Oh, there we go. Say some more. What else you got to say? What else? Ranger. There we go. Well, as always, the dog knows what to say. Good night, everybody.